Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Dream Hoarders by Richard V. Reeves examines a group that is often overlooked in debates about inequality, the American upper middle class. Rather than focusing only on the very rich, Reeves argues that households near the top of the income and education ladder use a web of everyday advantages to secure opportunity for their children and to keep distance from everyone else. The book connects economic trends with social behavior, showing how opportunity can be quietly monopolized through housing choices, school access, professional networks, and gatekeeping in the labor market. Reeves frames this as a moral and civic problem, not only an economic one, because it undermines the ideal of equal opportunity and hardens class boundaries. Written for policy readers and concerned citizens alike, the book blends data-driven analysis with a pragmatic call to reform systems that reward the already advantaged while preserving incentives for work and achievement. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the upper middle class as an engine of inequality. A central contribution of Dream Hoarders is its shift in focus from the top 1% to the upper middle class, often described as roughly the top 20%. Reeves contends that this group holds a decisive share of income, education, and occupational status, and that its influence shapes the rules of the game. The argument is not that success is undeserved, but that the distance between this tier and the rest has grown large enough to create a semi-hereditary class system. By concentrating on the upper middle class, the book highlights how inequality can widen even without billionaire-level wealth. This segment benefits from stable careers, dual incomes, and credentials that translate into political attention and cultural authority. Reeves emphasizes that when a large, well-organized group defends its advantages, reforms aimed only at the very top can miss the mechanisms that actually lock in opportunity. The topic also reframes responsibility. Inequality is not only something done by a tiny elite, but also something maintained by millions of people acting rationally to protect their families. Recognizing that broader dynamic is presented as a necessary step toward realistic solutions. Secondly, opportunity hoarding through neighborhoods, schools, and zoning. Reeves argues that much of modern class reproduction happens through place. Upper-middle-class families cluster in high-opportunity neighborhoods where schools are stronger, peers are more academically oriented, and public services are better funded. Housing markets then convert income and savings into access, making geography a quiet gatekeeper. The book discusses how zoning rules and local politics can limit housing supply, raising prices, and restricting who can move into high-performing school districts. This is framed as opportunity hoarding because it preserves advantages without needing explicit exclusion by race or class, even though the outcomes often mirror those older patterns. Reeves also connects school quality to property values and explains how the competition for homes near good schools reinforces segregation by income. The effect is cumulative. Children in these neighborhoods gain safer environments, more experienced teachers, stronger extracurricular options, and influential parent networks. The point is not that parents should stop caring about education, but that systems built on residential sorting convert private resources into public opportunity for some and reduced opportunity for others. Reeves uses this topic to motivate policy ideas that expand access to high opportunity areas and weaken the link between family wealth, address, and educational quality. Thirdly, higher education, internships, and the hidden curriculum of advantage. The book highlights how educational pathways increasingly function as class filters. Upper-middle-class families are better positioned to navigate admissions, standardized testing, and credential building, often through time, knowledge, and money. Reeves points to the role of selective colleges as amplifiers of advantage, not only because of academic preparation, but also because of coaching, legacy preferences, and social networks that can influence outcomes. Beyond college entry, the transition from school to career is portrayed as a critical bottleneck. Internships, especially unpaid or low-paid ones, can favor students whose families can subsidize living costs in expensive cities, effectively turning early career opportunities into a luxury good. The topic also includes the less visible elements of advantage, such as knowing how to write the right application, secure recommendations, build extracurricular portfolios, and signal fit in professional environments. Reeves frames these as cultural and institutional mechanisms rather than individual moral failings. The cumulative result is that talent from outside the upper middle class can be screened out even when ability is present. This analysis supports the book's broader message that equal opportunity requires attention to the pipelines and practices that translate education into status. Fourthly, labor market closure and professional gatekeeping. Reeves examines how the upper middle class sustains its position through rules and norms that restrict entry into desirable occupations. Professional licensing, credential requirements, and informal hiring practices can all operate as barriers that protect incumbents. While some regulation improves quality and safety, the book argues that excessive or poorly designed barriers can become a form of labor market closure that limits competition and raises wages for those already inside. The topic also covers the power of networks. High-status jobs often rely on referrals, internships, and reputational signals that circulate within the same social circles. As a result, opportunity is not distributed purely by merit, but also by access to the right connections and knowledge. Reeves links these dynamics to broader trends such as wage polarization and the growth of professional and managerial work. The argument is that when upper-middle-class workers can shape entry standards, they can convert educational advantage into durable economic security, leaving others with fewer routes upward. This is presented as socially costly because it reduces mobility and wastes human potential. The discussion encourages readers to distinguish between fair standards and exclusionary gatekeeping that primarily serves to defend status. Lastly, Reform Proposals and the Ethics of Shared Sacrifice, a defining element of Dream Hoarders, is its insistence that solutions must involve the upper middle class giving up some entrenched advantages. Reeves frames this as a question of fairness and civic obligation, arguing that a society committed to mobility cannot allow a large segment to wall off the best opportunities. The book outlines practical reforms that target opportunity hoarding mechanisms rather than simply increasing redistribution. Examples include changes to zoning and housing policy to expand access to high-opportunity neighborhoods, reforms to education funding and admissions practices that reduce the role of inherited advantage, and changes to internship and hiring norms that broaden entry paths. Reeves also discusses taxes and transfers, but emphasizes that policy must address the channels through which opportunity is transmitted across generations. The ethical argument is paired with political realism. Reforms are hard because the beneficiaries are influential, vote at high rates, and often see their actions as normal parenting rather than class protection. By naming the problem and locating it in mainstream behavior, Reeves seeks to shift the conversation from blaming the poor or idolizing the very rich to reconsidering the everyday structures that shape life chances. The topic concludes with a call for reforms that preserve aspiration while reducing unfair insulation. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who care about social mobility, education, housing policy, and the health of American democracy, including parents, educators, policymakers, and professionals who suspect that opportunity is becoming more inherited than earned. It benefits a reader's life by clarifying how class advantage is built through ordinary decisions and institutions, and by encouraging a more honest form of civic self-assessment. Even if you disagree with parts of the thesis, the framework helps you see inequality not only as a gap in income, but as a gap in access to the ladders that make progress possible. Dream Hoarders is worth buying compared to similar books because it targets a different but highly consequential driver of inequality, the upper middle class systems of protection that operate through housing, schooling, credentials, and networks. Many inequality books concentrate on billionaires or macroeconomic forces. Reeves adds a closer-to-home diagnosis that explains why well-intentioned people can still perpetuate exclusion. The result is a practical, debate-shaping perspective that connects personal incentives with policy change and argues for reforms that widen opportunity without vilifying achievement. If you would like to support Richard V. Reeves, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.